So we're continuing our Chazara. Welcome to everybody. Okay, we're going to try, but Ezra Hashem Yisborach, to finish the perek today again, for the second time. As mentioned, I would like to stress the purpose of the shiur, the maximum te'eles that we can get if the shiur is prepared for and reviewed, in addition to when we learn the Gemara in the shiur, and then we do Chazara, so altogether there should be at least four times that we're learning it. The stipler used to say, when people used to ask him about how many times you need to do Chazara, so he used to say, the first four times, that's not Chazara, the first four times is learning. After that, you begin Chazara. So, Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach, we shall all be zeichet to learn and do Chazara. We're on the Gemara, towards the bottom of that Yud, Zayin Omed Beis, on the second wide line. Might have to finish a little bit early today, but let's try our best.
Did you say Yud Zayin Omed Beis, second wide line?
Mid Aleph.
Yud Zayin Omed Aleph, excuse me.
Mid Aleph, sorry, okay.
Okay, says the Gemara, towards the end of the second wide line, on the bottom of Yud Zayin Omed Aleph, Minayin Lahov Yoyit Shleisha. Remember the Gemara, the Mishnah, said that the Beis Din HaKotn, the Sanhedrin HaKotn in every single town is 23. You had 10 and 10. Plus, you added an extra 3. And if you remember, without getting involved in all the Cheshbonos, the bottom line is that in order to convict him, there has to be a majority of 2. It's not enough to have a majority of 1. And this really is a tricky, therefore, mathematical question, because the Gemara says, soif soif, for the end of the day, lero'o, I need to convict him, al pishnayim lo yimishkachas lo. If you have an odd number of dayonim on the Beis Din, 23, you can never have a mathematical margin of 2. It just doesn't work out. Why not? Because iachadosar mezakin v'shnei moser mechayvin. If you have 11 saying innocent and 12 saying guilty, then akati chadu. Then it's still just a margin of 1. Iasara mezakin v'shloisha osar mechayvin. If it's 10 saying guilty and 13 saying innocent, that's a nice wide margin. But it's not 2, it's 3, which is no problem. No problem to have a margin of 3, but where is the case that you can have a margin of 2? The Torah says you have to have a margin of 2, minimum, you can have more. But it seems rather strange that you can never actually achieve the case that the Torah spoke about. So the Gemara said, you can. Omar Abavo, Iyata Moitze, it's impossible to find a margin of 2. Elo, Ben Moisifin, the halacha that we referred to several times, even though essentially it's a sugi later on in the Masechta, and occasionally you have to add the Divrei HaKohen, according to all opinions, if you add, when would you add? So if 11 said guilty and 11 said innocent, so that's tied. And the last one, the 23rd Dion, is, as it were, practically, even though theoretically he's part of the Beis Din, but he has taken the fifth, I think the Americans call it, and therefore he's remaining silent. So if he's remaining silent, so for all intents and purposes, really, we only have 22 functioning dayonim. When we now add another 2, so it's now 24 functioning dayonim. So in theory, if now 13 said guilty and 11 said innocent, well, there would be your margin of 2. And that particular mathematical cheshbon would fit according to everybody. There's another teretz, uba sanhedri gedoyla v'aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. There's another teretz, but this would not work according to all opinions. It would only work according to Rabbi Yehuda, Domar Shivim. Remember, as we discussed yesterday, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Sanhedrin Gedolah is always an even number, which presents problems in itself, but either way it is. And therefore, if you have 70 dayonim, so you can have a margin of 2. 36 will say guilty, 34 will say innocent, and there's your margin of 2. V'omar abavo, b'moisifin oisin bezdin shokol lechatchila. Rabbo now adds, and it seems to be, they're just saying the same thing again, that when you add, in the event that you had a tie, then you're going to end up having a Beis Din Shokol, because you've really got 24 functioning dayonim, although one of them is theoretically on the Beis Din, but he's back down. The Gemara says, Pshita, isn't that posher? I mean, it's obviously, we can all work out the mathematics. No. Ma'ol detem, I might have thought that Haidukoma in Yedea command the Isadomi. I might have thought that the one who says, I don't know, it's like he's there. I definitely have to consider him And therefore, the Yoma Mils Shaminole. And maybe if he suddenly pipes up, oh, one thing I do have something to add after all, maybe I should consider his opinion. And therefore, it turns out it's an odd number of Bezdin. No. Kamash Malan, I'm sorry. Once you back down, you back down. Dehaida Koma in your idea. Once you say you don't know, command, delay, say domi, it's as if you are not there. And therefore, the Yomatam, Alei Shamin, if he now wants to offer reasoning or change his opinion, too late. Omer of Kana, Sanhedrin, Shero'u, Kulon, Lechoiva, Poitronese, the Bezdin entirely seem all to side on the opinion of guilty, then we just dismiss it, we disband the Bezdin. My timer. Kivin de Gemiri, Halonas Din, Lemevad Le Zachusa, because we learn. It is halacha called halona. Halona means overnight. That means we never rush to a guilty verdict. So if you have a split decision, for example, and it's leaning in the direction of guilty, but if we leave it overnight, so maybe they would reconsider. But over this case, vahani suloi chazile. But over here, where you clearly see that opinion is so one-sided and it's an overwhelming 100% leaning in the direction of guilty, well, there's no point in leaving it overnight. Because nobody can sway their opinion because there's no split verdict. And if you cannot fulfill the halacha of leaving it overnight, then the Bezdin gets disbanded. Om Rabbi Yechanan, Ein Meshivin B'Sanhedrin Ela Balei Koimo. You only put on the Sanhedrin people who are of tall stature. Nachum, I'm sure you like this Gemara. No, you're not against tall people. Okay. You put people of tall stature on the Bezdin. Ubale chochmo, wise people, ubale mara, handsome people, ubale zikno, elders, ubale kshofim, people who are able to overcome any magical powers that nobody should mess up the bezdin, the yodin, ba'ayin loshin. They are familiar with 70 languages, shaloite, sanhedrin, shoima'as, mipi haturgumen. So that they should not need to listen through a maturgumen, through an interpreter, because as we've mentioned last time, they've got to hear the testimony directly from the Edom. So why do they have to be tall and handsome and good-looking and elderly and wise? Because they've got to be prominent people. If they're not prominent people, then they may just be overrun by the Edom. Omer Yehuda Omer Rav on the bottom line, Ein Meishivin B'Sanhedrin Ela Mishiyei Deir Atayres Asheretz Min HaTorah. You'd only put on the Bezdin somebody who, in theory, obviously this is just in theory, you could, in theory, come up with a good logical argument to be metahir asheretz. Now, obviously, it's in theory, and I think Ramesh Azeli pointed this out last time. It can't really be a good argument to be metahir asheretz because the Torah says the opposite. So, whatever argument you come up with, by definition, it's flawed. But al kaponim, in theory, you could bring up a good argument to be metahir asheretz. In other words, you've got to be wise enough, you've got to be learned enough, astute enough in learning that you could, in theory, come up with a sound argument, even though you know full well that it can't be a sound argument. So what would be an example? Omar Rav. Rav says on the bottom line, Ani Odun, I could judge, I could come up with a shtikl teira v'atarenu. I could, in theory, come up with an argument to be metaher asheretz. How so? So the Gemara says on the top line, Umar Nochosh, Shememis, a Nochosh is a deathly animal or serpent, or marbe tuma, and therefore it can go around killing people, it can increase the amount of tuma in the world, right? If a nochosh bites and kills his victims, those people die, and as we know, a dead person is tomis. Therefore, the nochosh has tremendous ability to increase tuma in the world, and nonetheless, tohu. Nonetheless, a snake, when he himself dies, is tohu. Rashi at the time pointed out that not every dead object becomes Tommy. If it's in the case of a creepy crawly, a shrotzim, it's got to be, there's a list of eight, and a nochosh is not one of them. If that's the case, sheretz, if you've got a little mouse, the mouse can't kill. She'enoi meimis umar betuma. It has no ability to kill, and therefore it has no ability to increase tuma in the world. So obviously, isn't that a good argument to say, enoi din she'ehei tohir, question mark. Isn't that therefore a good argument that it should be Tomei? If a Nochosh is more susceptible to Tumah and nonetheless doesn't actually become Tomei, so surely a Sheretz, which cannot cause Tomei, should obviously be non-Tomei. So that in theory would be my argument, says Rav, to be Matayr Sheretz. But he's mistaken. Now he must be mistaken because the Torah says the opposite. So why is that? Says the Gemara of Elohi, it's not true. Because whether or not you become tamei is totally irrespective, irrelevant of your ability to increase tumah in the world. Midi dava akoitz ba'alma. What's akoitz? Akoitz is like a sharp implement. So if you imagine you have a piece of a thorn is a very dangerous implement, right? People can get cut and bleed to death. It can cause tamei. Well, if it can cause tumah, nonetheless, we know akoitz is a thorn. It doesn't become tamei. So you see that whether or not an item becomes tamei is totally irrespective of its ability to make other things tamei. So therefore, even though the nachash can indeed bite and kill people and cause tumah in the world, that's irrelevant. That has no bearing on his ability or inability to become tamei himself. And therefore, in the bottom line, the fact that the sheretz cannot kill and the sheretz cannot cause tumah in the world is irrelevant. It's a fruitless argument to try and argue that he should become tohu. Yes, Riblei.
I just wanted to say, like I said, the last thought, my mind keeps saying, and by Parah Aduma, this Kohen or this that brings the carbon to make people Tahar, he himself is Tameh. So there's no correlation between something that makes you Tameh or Tahar, whether it's Tameh.
Yeah, but here we're talking about after it dies. We're talking about specifically after it dies. We're talking about when something dies, does it become tummy? An animal that dies, tumas nevela, a sheretz that dies becomes tummy. That's what we're discussing. So a nochosh that dies, does it become tummy? That was the argument we were trying to make. It all fell through. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, kol ir she'ein bo shnayim ledaber ve'echad lishmoya. If a town must have a minimum of at least two people who can speak 70 languages and one who at least can understand them, albeit he cannot speak. If you don't have that amount, ein moshivim bo Sanhedrin. Now, if you remember, we asked last time, didn't we just say a minute ago on Ahmed Aleph that sounds like every
Right.
Dayan? The answer is clearly not every Dayan. It's lechatchila to have every Dayan proficient in all 70 languages, but you don't actually need that. You've got to have a minimum of two who can speak the 70 languages and one who can understand. If you remember, we explained last time this is a big chiddush because the Edim will be able to testify in a language which is unfamiliar to most of the Dayanim. But nonetheless, as long as two or three can understand it, they can then transmit that to the other Dayanim, and that would still be a fulfillment of the halacha that you must hear testimony from the Edim and not via a translator. So that's a very tremendous chiddush. Why is it a very big chiddush? Because most of the Dayanim are, in fact, hearing the Eidus from a translator. They are not hearing it, meaning not understanding it directly. The Chiddush is yes, but if the translator is one of the members of the Beis Din himself, then at least part of the Beis Din, a significant amount of the Beis Din, actually did hear and receive and understand the Eidus from the Edim. Says the Gemara, Uba Beitar Avashloisho Beyavne Arbo'o. In Beitar, there are actually three Dayanim who are proficient in 70 languages. In Yavne, there were four. Who were they? Rabbi Elezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon HaTeimoni, Don Lifneim Bekarka. Shimon HaTeimoni, as an aside, says the Gemara, had to sit not on the top level, but Don Lifneim Bekarka had to sit, as it were, on the lower tier on the floor because he was less proficient than the others. Meisvei, we have a kasha. We have a brayso that says Shlishis. If you have three people who can speak 70 languages, then that is chokhmah, that's a wise bez. If you have four, wow, that's tremendous, nothing better than that. So what does that seem to indicate? That you've got to have at least three who are proficient in all 70 languages. We just said a moment ago, you only need two. The third one just needs to understand, but not be able to speak. Says the Gemara, you're right, but there's an alternative Tana. Udomar ki hai Tana. The statement said above was following a different Tana. The Tana we have in a Braisa that says, Shnia Chochma and Shlishis Eilamalam Menon. As long as I have two people who are proficient in all 70 languages, that would suffice. If I have three, that's wonderful. Nothing better than that. Says the Gemara, Lemeidin Lifnei Chachom. If you remember, we had a whole sugya now that all different types of expressions. Sometimes the Gemara uses a turn of phrase. For whatever reason, this turn of phrase is exclusive to a particular Amora. Why are we now launching the whole comprehensive list? We'll see, because we just mentioned Shimon HaTimoni. So wherever it says, Lemeidin lifnei hachachomim, quote unquote, whenever it says, the Amora who learned in front of other chachomim, now, isn't that a bit vague? It could be any Amora. So the Gemara says, no, it's a particular reference to Levi mi Rebbe, Levi who learned from Rebbe. Why? he in particular gets this title, I'm not sure, but our koponim is a reference to him. Donin lifnei chachomim, that's a reference to Shimon ben Azai, v'Shimon ben Zoimo, v'Chanan ha-Mitzri, v'Chananya ben Chachinoi. Reb Nachman bar Yitzchok masni chamisho, he added a fifth one, Shimon, 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 Chanan v'Chananya. Okay. Rabbi Seinu Sheba Bovel, quote unquote. So if it does not say by name who we're referring to, it just says our rabbis from Bovel. So if it says Rabbi Seinu Sheba Bovel, so the Gemara says you should know that Rav Shmuel, that must be a reference to Rav and Shmuel, even though it doesn't determine, it doesn't spell out that we're referring to them, but this reference is a reference to them. Rabbi Seinu Sheba Eretz Yisrael, who is that? That's Rabbi Abba. Daine Goyla, the Dayonim of the Goyla, of the Golos, that's Karana. Dayonim de Eretz Yisrael, that's Rav Ami Verasi. Dayonim de Pompadisa, Rav Papa Bar Shmuel. Dayonim de Nahardoi, Rav Adar Bar Menyumi. Sabi de Surah, the elders of Surah, who is considered the elder of Surah, that is Rav Huna and Rav Chista. Sabi de Pompadisa, the elders of Pompadisa, is Rav Yehuda and Rav Eina. Charif for the Pompadisa, who are the sharp ones, from Pompadisa, that's a reference to Ifa v'Avimi, Bnei Rechava. Amoroi de Pompadisa, that's Rabba v'Rab Yosef. Amoroi de Nardoi, Rav Chama Naharbeloi. Masnu, Romi, Masnu, if it says Masnu, then that is Romi bar Rebbe. Omri bei Rav, if it says they said in Yeshiva of Rav, then that is a reference to Rav Huna. What do you mean? V'ha Omer Rav Huna, Omri bei Rav, but Rav Huna himself once used that turn of phrase. He can't be referring to himself. You're right. It's not Rav Huna, it's Elo Rav Hamnuna. So Rav Huna was quoting Rav Hamnuna. Omri b'ma'arava, whenever it says, they said in the west. Now, where is the west? The west is Eretz Yisrael. This is the Talmud Bavli, so we're in the west. But who in particular is being referred to? Rav Yirmiyahu. Sholchu mitam, they sent a message from there. Again, we're in Bavel. That's where this Talmud was written. And if it says, a message was sent from there, who is that a reference to? Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina. Machku alav b'marava, that's Rabbi Loza. What's going on? V'hosholchu mitam ledivrei Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Chanina. That very phrase, sholchu mitam, which you said is a reference to Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina once himself used that phrase. So again, the question that we had before, he can't be referring to himself. Okay, it's a mistake. Elo epoch, we've got to switch that around. Shalchu mitam is Rabbi Loza, and Mechku ala b'marava is Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina. Okay, that was a comprehensive list. We move on. V'kama yei bo'ir v'yei ru'uya l'sanhedrin me'e v'eshrim. How many people do you have to have residing in the city for it to qualify to have a bezdin? So the Mishnah said, according to the first opinion, 120. The other opinion was 230. But the first opinion was 120. Now, where did you get that number from? So we'll do this quickly. We saw this last time. Me'er ve'esrim, says the Gemara, Maya v'detayu. How do you get to that number of 120? Okay, very simple. Esrim v'shloisha keneged Sanhedrin ketan. You've got to have at least 23 people in the town. They could be potentially be the dayanim of the bezdin. V'shaloi shuroi shal esrim v'shloisha. You have three additional rows of backup dayanim. So it's 4 times 23 altogether. Hare tishim v'tarati, that takes you to 92. Va'asara batlonim shel beis haknesses, you've got to have, that would define a town, 10 people who are learning. Remember we said batlonim means they are bottled from work. They're being supported by other townspeople. They are bottled from work. You've got to have a town that has batlonim. So now we're up to mayor of a tray. We're up to 102. B'shnei Seferim, two scribes. Rashi explains scribes means court scribes, not people writing Megillas and Gittin, but court scribes are up to 104. B'shnei Chazonim, a chazon doesn't mean how we use a chazon, it means the helpers of the Bezdin, either to administer Malkus or to summon people to court, that's 104. B'shnei Balei Dinim, obviously the two litigants, that's 106. B'shnei Edim, 108. B'shnei Zoymimin, 110. B'shnei Zoymame Zoymamin. Yeah, am I right in the number so far?
Mm-hmm.
So the Shnei Bale Zoymame Zoymamin, you've got to have two Adim, Plus, you've got to have two potential people who can make them zoymamin, and then two other potential people who could make the zoymamin zoymamin. So altogether, we are hare mea va'arbeisa. We're up to 114. So where did we get 120 from? The answer is because Vitanya, because we have an additional brisa that says there's something else very necessary in a town. Kol ir she'im bo asara dvar malolu, ein tamat chocham rashoi lodur b'soicha. If you have a town devoid of the following 10 things, you're not allowed to live in that town. What are the 10 things? Bezdin, makin v'oinshin, a bezdin who's a fully functional bezdin, who are able to give punishments. The kupa shel tzedakah, which is nigvis b'shnayim u'mischalekes b'shloisha, which has two gaboim to collect the tzedakah and three to distribute it. U'beis ha'kneses, u'beis ha'mercha, it's a bathhouse. I think Larry asked last time a very good question. Why didn't it say anything about a mikveh? Good question. U'beis ha'kneses, roife, a doctor. V'uman, somebody to let blood. V'lavlor. Lavlor is a somebody who's able to write sforim. Umalamed tinoikus. So maybe, that's six. Yeah.
Maybe a base. Maybe it says merchatz. It's a tsanua way of saying mikvah.
So be. And interestingly, Rabbi Kiva Omru, Mishum Rabbi Kiva Omru, Afmine Peira. For some reason, it's critical to have peiros in the town as well. Peishamine Peira Meirin Esoeinayim. That lights up the eyes. Either way, of this 10, six of them, six of them are people. A shul is not a person. A merchatz is not a person. There's six additional people. 114 plus 6, 120. If you remember, we said last time that when it says you have to have a roife, the Chasam Sofer understood, and that's referring not just to refuas haguf, but also refuas hanefesh. If a town does not have a rov who can give musa, you can't live in a town like that. I mentioned in a parasha here, if I'm not mistaken, it was a year ago, exactly on Parashas Pinchas. Why is this the appropriate parasha to be talking about this? Because in Parashas Pinchas, of course, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu requests of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to appoint the next leader. And he says, Klal Yisrael should not be sheep without a shepherd. They should not be Ketzayna She'en Lahem Roy. There is a very famous tshuva in the Mahari Tats. The Mahari Tats was written about 400 years ago, and he says, an astonishing chiddush. He says, in my opinion, any town that does not have a rov there, they are transgressing the Issa of being a sheep without a shepherd. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Shelo Yetzayin Hashem Lahem Roya, becomes an Issa. So I mentioned last year in the Shir an incredible story. The Ponovitch Rov, as a young child, was from the town of Ponovitch, and he wanted to become accepted to one of the great yeshivas. I don't remember now which one was. Maybe it was Telz. Telz was such a popular yeshiva, they were so totally inundated that they had a policy, they would not accept more than one bocha from each town. And that way they could keep a cap, otherwise there'd be just thousands of bocha streaming there, they didn't have the facilities. The problem was that in Ponovitch, there was already a bocha from that town who'd been accepted to the yeshiva. And the Ponovitch Rav's father was determined that he too should be accepted to the yeshiva, but the yeshiva's policy was definitely going to be not to accept him because that town already had used their quota. So what he did was, he was so determined to have his son accepted to the Telz Yeshiva, he sent his son to a little village outside of Ponovitch, where there were literally a handful of people and a few cows. He rented a room there so that his son should now be considered a resident of that village. He's no longer from Ponovitch. And then he applied to the yeshiva. So he came to the yeshiva, and they asked him, which town are you from? Are you from Ponovitch? He said, no, I'm not from Ponovitch. Where are you from? So he said, the name of this village. I'm a resident of that village, and there's no bocha there who's been accepted to your yeshiva. So the Rosh Yeshiva, maybe Rabbi Elazar Gordon, said to him, one second, what exactly do they have in this village? He says, a handful of people, a few cows. He said, do they have a rav there? He said, no. He said, well, I'm sorry, we accept one bocha from each town. A place that doesn't have a rov is not considered a town. Therefore, we cannot accept you. And this might well, therefore, be based on our Gemara. Okay, Rabbi said, let's try and finish off. As I mentioned, I do have to finish a little bit early. Rabbi Nechemiah Omer, he said, it's not 120, it's 230, because it's 23 dayonim, 10 people per dayan. Sorry, Asoris. Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Mosayim, Veshivim, Veshiva. There is an opinion that says you have to have 277. Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Mosayim, Shivim, Veshmoina, or 278. Is that a contradiction? No. Loi kasheha Rabbi Yudah Rabbonon. So how do you get to the numbers? So if you remember, we said, because if you start off with 23, you might have to keep on adding more and more dayonim. Again, in the case of a split verdict. So if you begin with 23, how much will you add until the size of a Sanhedrin Agodel? Now, how big is a Sanhedrin Agodel? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, a Sanhedrin Agodel is 70, in which case you can add another 47. So if you have 230 plus 47, that's 277. According to the Rabbanon, a Sanhedrin Agodel is 71, so you could add 48, that's 278. Says the Gemara, and this is how we conclude the Perek. Ton Rabbonon, v'samtu aleim, sorei alofim. Sorei mei, sorei chamishim, sorei asoris. Yisro's instruction or advice to Moshe Rabbeinu was to have Dayonim in charge of the tens, the fifties, the hundreds, and the thousands. Sorei alofim, that's sheish meis. Because there were 600,000 in Klal Yisrael, therefore you have 600 Dayonim. Sorry, meyois is sheshes alofim, so it's 6,000. Sorry, chamishim is shneimos alef, is 12,000. Sorry, asorois is sheshes ribui, 60,000. Add all of those together, nimtzu, dayoni, Yisrael, how many dayonim were there all together? Shivas ribui, 10, 7 times 10,000, that's 70,000, v'shmoinus alofim, plus 8, 78,000, v'shesh meyois, and 600 altogether. Rabbi Vorm asked a fantastic question last time, which turns out to be Tosa's question, but the numbers don't quite add up because the Dayonim themselves are members of Klal Yisrael. So there's not 600,000 people besides for the Dayonim. Okay, that's a question that's addressed by Tosfos. Al koponim rabbeisai, hadron aloch dine momenus. What does it mean, hadron aloch? Hadron aloch means we will return to you. It's a beautiful turn of phrase when you think of it for two reasons. Number one, when you finish a perek, although it's a great source of joy and simcha and pride of achievement, but we are determined, how do we know we're going to come back? We don't by any means think that we finished it, number one. Number two, the second beautiful word in this phrase is aloch. What does aloch mean? Hadron aloch, we will return to you. Who's you? We're talking to the perek. It doesn't say Hadron Dinimomus, we will go to the Perek of Dinimomus. We say, we will go to you, the Perek called Dinimomus. We're addressing the Perek, which means a very, very important yesod, that when we learn, unlike all other Chochmais Ba'olam, if we're asking ourselves a question, what's the difference if somebody sits and studies geography, or Lahavdil Elef Havdalos, he learns the first Perek in Sanhedrin? That's Chochma. This Chochma is just a different type of Chochma. And the answer is there's no connection whatsoever. If a person studies whatever it may be, medicine or law or geography or history or nuclear physics, makes no difference. That Chochma doesn't change him as a person. It doesn't become connected to him. Rather, he's the same person as he was. He's just more knowledgeable. But when a person learns Gemara, then he becomes attached to the Gemara. This is something that we've discussed many, many, many times in the Parasha Shir, the whole Indian of learning Torah and Kabbalah Satorah was like a chasana. Harakagigis, when the mountain was suspended above our heads, was like a chuppah. Torah Tzivalonu Moirosha, Moirosa. We all put on our tefillin this morning. What did we say? Ve'irastich liloin, and we are betrothed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How are we connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Via the Torah. So when we learn Torah, it's not just we're the same person. Rather, as we've mentioned many times, v'nisrei mamti, we become elevated people. How do you become elevated people? Because if you are attached to something kodosh, then you yourself become kodosh. But if you're attached to a geography book, then you're the exact same person as you were before. You just happen to have more knowledge. So we become attached, Baruch Hashem, that we've finished now this perek in Sanhedrin. We've literally become attached to this perek, married to the perek. So we can now talk to the Perek. Hadron Aloch Dine Momonos. We're addressing the Perek, which is, as it were, our spouse. As it were, the Torah becomes our Ben Zug. And we promise and we hope and we daven, Bez Hashem, that we should be able to return to Dine Momonos. Let's just read one more line, because we don't like to finish without starting the next Perek. Koyein Godoil We're going to learn this whole perek. Rabbi says all the halachas of Kohen Gadol, a fascinating perek. Kohen Gadol don, a Kohen Gadol both can be a dayon, and also the don in oisai. And also, not only can he judge, but he can also be judged. So if he's accused of doing avera, he will also be taken to Bezdin and will be judged. Now, lechayra, that's not very obvious. What is the Mishnah teaching us? What is the chiddush? And in fact, the Gemara asks us, isn't this pshita? I mean, why should the Kohen Gadol be different to anybody else? Let him be a dayon, why not? And if he needs to be judged, well, why should he have immunity? So what is the chiddush of the Mishnah? It seems to be overwhelmingly obvious. So Be'ezus Hashem, we'll see this in the Gemara. But first, Yemitz Hashem, tomorrow we will learn the Mishnah. Okay, be well, everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Yeah. Thank you very much.